Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying seven churches of Revelation from Revelation chapters 2 and 3. In this session, we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, Ephesus. The seven churches of Revelation, they're as ancient as the Apostle John himself. And yet, those churches, those congregations, are as modern as our own. Those letters were personal messages to people living 2,000 years ago, and yet they're a personal message to people living today. Seven letters to seven specifically chosen churches written to those actual congregations dealing with issues before all churches, and a prophetic panorama of church history. The church age runs from Pentecost to the rapture. Ephesus covers the area of AD 30 to about AD 100. Smyrna from 100 to 312. Pergamum from 312 to 590, thereabouts. Thyatira from 590 to 1517, the beginning of the Reformation. Sardis from 1517 to 1750. And then Philadelphia, the beginnings of the great movement of mission work from 1750 right to the present. But also the Church of Laodicea from about 1900 to the rapture. The first letter is to the church at Ephesus. And there are several points for us to consider as the Church of Jesus Christ in our day. And let's look at these verses in a little more detail. First, Jesus will never leave his church. Verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Seven stars, it equals seven angels or pastors. Look at chapter 1, verse 16, verse 20. Verse 16, he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth when a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Seven golden lampstands equals seven churches. We saw this in chapter 1, verse 20, and now in verses chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. See, Scripture will interpret itself. Who told John to write this letter to the church? Well, Jesus. Who is it that holds the pastors in his hand? Well, Jesus. Who is it that's walking amid the churches? Jesus. So what's the imagery here? We see Jesus' power as he is fully in control of his church. We see Jesus' love displayed and his continual presence with his church. That's a reminder for us that he is all-powerful yet loving. And he will never leave nor forsake his people. Then second, Jesus sees all his church's activity. Look at verses 2 and 3 of Revelation chapter 2. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored in my namesake and have not become weary. Jesus watches everywhere. Proverbs 15 and verse 3 states, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. He knows everything we do. He knew that the church at Ephesus worked hard, and he knew that they served under many trials. Jesus saw their perseverance. Jesus saw their hatred of evil. Jesus saw their lack of toleration for imposters, those who lied about having seen or having been with Jesus. Jesus took notice that the Ephesus church remained faithful, even though it was surrounded by immorality and paganism. They stood firm against deception done in the name of God. Why are these problems important to us to be aware of in today's church? Well, so that we can learn from them and not repeat them. And then third, Jesus calls backsliding churches to repentance. Verses 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. All those good things, you had a problem. What was the problem? Heart disease. A decline in their relationship with Jesus. They stopped loving him as before. The church at Ephesus lost its first love. How did Jesus deal with the problem? Well, he offered a very simple solution. Recall the relationship. Turn from worldly things and come back to him. What if they didn't take the solution? Well, they would lose their existence as a church. Remove your lampstand from its place. Stop backsliding or die out. The choice was theirs. Ephesus today, it declined as a city with no more inhabitants. It's just a major ruin. Some Christians mistakenly believe Jesus will allow anything in his church. Some view themselves above criticism. God understands. No, he does not. Jesus was the top priority of the church at Ephesus. A few wrong churches, some members began backsliding, and they needed to rediscover Jesus. Spiritual maturity is dynamic. If you sit back, you become immature again. A busy life will allow your love relationship with the Lord to grow weak. On the outside, the Ephesus church looked great, but it was growing cold toward Jesus Christ. And they had some great pastors there. Paul established that church. It was his headquarters for 3 years. What influence he must have had in that place. Timothy served there as pastor. In church history, extra biblical, church history places the apostle John there as pastor for about 30 years. Wow. God had given them much. And then fourth, Jesus commends churches for hating sin. Look at verse 6. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The church at Ephesus sat in the middle of a pagan worship culture, a city of educational and economic diversity, a center for false religions and superstitions. The Temple of Diana, one of the seven wonders of the world, was there. And it was a commerce capital for making and selling idols. If you take a look at Acts chapter 19, it presents the city's culture. Amos chapter 5 and verse 15 reads, hate evil, love good. Hate evil, love good. establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. And John chapter 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love the person, hate the sin. By the way, who were the Nicolaitans? Well, some scholars believe they taught that Jesus could sin because what is done in the flesh doesn't affect the spirit. Others believe they taught that Christians needed to experience sin to understand it. Whatever. Whatever, Jesus hated their teachings. The believers in the church at Ephesus did. They didn't hate Nicolaitans, only their practices. During the Ephesus period of history, AD 30 to about 100, many groups tried to bring false doctrines and practices into the church. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." And then if you drop down to verse 11, "Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." And then fifth, Jesus promises his church a blessing. Verse 7, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." This letter was addressed to the church, but anyone who listens can benefit. Who is the one that overcomes? Well, it's not what many teach and many think. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 makes it clear to us. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." An overcomer is the person who is conquering sin through faith in Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve lost access to the tree of life by disobedience. Christians in Christ regain the right to eat its fruit and live forever. The tree of life is now in paradise. Let me ask you, are you a backslider? Have you lost your first love? Jesus gave three steps to get back into a right relationship with him. First, Remember your first love. Repent of your backsliding or falling away, and restore or get back to the good works you used to do. As we begin this study of those seven churches of Revelation, you think about all this, and you have a great day.